WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in. This morning we're going to be learning how to be better parents. We have two dads with us, and you read their columns regularly in area newspapers. Bill Black is with us this morning. Bill, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us, and your buddy, Tom Tozer, your fellow dad in crime. How are you today, Tom?
Yeah, I'm doing great, thank you.
Good to have you with us. Let me ask you this, because we've been reading your articles in the newspaper now for how long have you been doing those?
About 5 years, actually, in the DNJ. We're in about 40 newspapers across the country now, online and print newspapers, but the DNJ was the first.
It's about 5 years. That's exciting to see that happen.
Yeah.
How did it come about?
We started talking over Greek salads. And going to lunch together, and really whining, complaining about our kids and why they wouldn't listen and why they wouldn't do what we wanted them to do.
Your kids wouldn't listen to you?
No, not unusual.
Mine did. Bill's didn't. I don't know what else to do.
But, you know, and we searched for some answers and couldn't find them. There weren't too many people we could talk to. When we got together with friends, we didn't talk about raising our kids. And so we found each other and thought that... that was a good possibility that we could have some conversation. And then we thought we might have something that we could share. So we approached the DNJ about doing a column, and they were gracious in giving us the opportunity to do that. And so we started writing that column on a weekly basis. And now, as Tom said, we've expanded into 40 newspapers.
And this has also expanded into a book, Dads to Dads. And it's just packed with some great, helpful information. It's amazing how similar parents, well, you know, the problems parents have are similar. It doesn't matter whether you're in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, or, or you know, Dallas, Texas, or wherever you might be. Mm-hmm. And you are both making tours now, talking to parents and learning more, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our latest stop on the tour, I guess, was a Calling All Men's Conference in Athens, Tennessee, at Tennessee Wesleyan University. And we conducted a workshop there for fathers and grandfathers. We had as many grandfathers in that group as we did dads. But we had a good time. And we found out that in talking to granddads, our message is in some ways the same, and that our message is somewhat a little different, because grandfathers sometimes think they're finished. I've done it, I'm done, you know, and we try to say, yes, but you're still role models, and you're role models for a couple of generations at least. And but yes, that was one stop, and we are thrilled to receive requests from churches, church men's groups, clubs, organizations, and we are always open and receptive to that.
Have you, through your writings and through your book, have you heard from some of the fathers who've said, you've really made a difference in what's going on in our family?
We get frequent comments from our readers about things that we've said, or we'll run into somebody in town who said, you know, what you said really helped me. And that's really why we got into this business, is to help fathers be better and be more engaged with their children.
You know, we actually get, I would say, probably more email messages from women than we do men. Men, you know, we'll run into fellas at church or on the sidewalk, as Bill said. But women, we think, are the ones who read the paper and then say, Harry, come here, you need to read this. Mm-hmm. And they point their husbands to our column. Our column is in the lifestyle section, not the sports section. So we think that many women take an interest in it, and they actually help to call the attention to their husbands.
I wonder, you know, if we try to figure out why this is this going back to the same thing that men never ask for directions? We never need maps. My sense of direction is perfect, although we ended up in the wrong town. It's a good town to visit anyway.
We've written about that, actually, a good bit. One of our themes, recurring themes, is that men still like to control. We like to fix things. And when our family members have a problem, whether it's a son or a daughter or maybe a wife even, we tend to, rather than really listen carefully and just be a sounding board, we offer a solution right away. And, well, just do what I say and it'll be all right. And so, yes, I think that's right. I think that we tend to kind of still want to grab on and be at the helm.
We found that women network easily, and men try to do it on their own, go their own way. And so we've actually started developing a workshop for women to talk about how to help your husband be more engaged with your children. And we're working on that right now. And we think that would be a nice addition to what we've been doing with men.
Out of curiosity, I think strange sometimes. Let's say you were down, where was your last talk you said?
Athens.
Athens, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
You were in Athens, Tennessee, a mm-hmm. group of men
yes.
in there mm-hmm. to learn about becoming better dads. Mm-hmm. Did they instantly reply with answers, here's what I would do? And then you relate to maybe some groups where there were women in there, and they're listening a little bit more as opposed to telling you what they would do. Does that work out that way?
Well, you know, we have not talked to a mixed group yet.
Aha!
We have talked to men only. And in fact, we held some focus groups a good while ago with men. And we said, you know, do you think you would be comfortable if your wives were in a discussion group with you about this subject, about family matters and so forth? And they really said, no, don't think so, because they didn't think they would be free enough to really let their hair down and say things that they would be uncomfortable saying those things with their wives present. So we have not talked to a mixed group. We find that men are more willing to open up. Now, it takes a while for men to open up, period, I think. They just don't do that. They don't really open up.
They don't relax, do they?
They don't relax, and they don't admit that they have some shortcomings or some problems or some doubts as far as parenting, but once they do, they'll share some things, especially if Bill and I say, look, we're ordinary dads and we have the same concerns and shortcomings and problems that you do too, so this is sort of a give and take. But when the wives are there, we think that would probably be a bit stifling, I think.
You know, what you're doing could be expanded. And it's up to the people who attend your conferences. This can help them in the business world. It can help them in the social world. It's helping guys to learn to interact, which may be one of the problems. I mean, I'll say this. Bill and I are close friends, and we have watched our wives interact with their friends and get together groups and take little trips to places and go to movies and do fun things. And you wonder, why don't guys do that? And so a group of us guys started doing that, and we've had some fun. I mean, we've seen some interesting places and done some things we probably would not have done otherwise. Are you finding that dads generally are this way? They have a shell that they stay in because they think that's what's expected of them.
Yeah, I think that's true. And the other thing is that dads are very busy. You know, we'll do these workshops, and a lot of times it's older dads who come, or maybe, as Tom said, granddads. The younger dads are busy working, and on the weekend they're trying to do other things. And so it's hard for them to devote their time to come into a workshop and spend in a couple hours. Or in this case, when we gave the talk in Athens, it was a conference that lasted all day. And
conference for dads?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working now with churches to try to move that message beyond individual workshops into more of a national kind of thing. And we think it really has some potential. And where men are gathered, we can do a workshop. We can fill in with an hour program or a couple hour program or whatever and help dads to make a better connection with their kids.
In today's society, where more and more people have marriages ending in divorce, if they ever had a marriage to start with, is that creating challenges? I mean, dads are still dads, whether they are married dads or divorced dads. Mm-hmm. Is that creating some of the problems?
Well, it's creating some challenges for the single dad, the dad who has been divorced and has children and is separated from his children. We've written about that, and we've interviewed some dads in that situation. And what we've learned from these fathers are that they very much, regardless of their relationship with their ex-wife, they very much want to stay in touch with their children, and they want to still be. I remember one fellow said, "It's important for me to remain that guy for my daughter, to be that guy for her, that guy in her life, who is somebody that is, who loves her and is responsible and dependable and that kind of thing." So they still very much want to be dads. It's different though when you're a dad at a distance. It's difficult because then you've got to work out, you know, phone conversations or whatever with the ex-wife. But they very much want to stay in touch regularly if they can with their children. That's important to them.
We've written about that in our book, and one of the things we talk about is starting the healing process and identifying that it's not the child's fault. It's not the child's role to be involved in the disappointment or hurt or anger that's involved with the separation or the divorce. And it's not your job to really make up for the loss. It is your job to be there for your child. And that's important whether you're married or divorced.
This brings to mind Judge Don Ash was on this program a good while back. And he mentioned that one of the goals of the courts that he was involved in that had some divorce cases come up, he said, you know, he would talk to these people seeking divorces and say, whatever you do, you need to remain at least friends with each other, because down the road, you're going to have high school, college graduations, you're going to have marriages, you're going to have things that your children are doing, and you need to at least peacefully be able to get together and support that child. And I guess that's one of the things you're finding, one of the things you mentioned right there, that is a challenge to dads and moms too, really. Mm-hmm. And there's no magic wand. Somehow you just have to suck it up and be realizing that you have to be the parent. Mm-hmm. You're the, as you said, Tom, earlier, role model. That's what you are. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or whatever, you're a role model. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's true with everybody today. You're somebody's watching you, and learning from you, may be good, may be bad. Hopefully you're doing good things. So tell us more about that you talk to dads about being role models and why that's so important.
Well, we stress that a great deal because, you know, a dad, a granddad is a role model to his son and grandson, daughter and granddaughter. But, you know, as we've said to grandfathers, who are a little bit out of the mainstream now, who don't have a regular job, who have a lot of discretionary time, we say to them, you know, you are a role model to the neighbor kid, the kid who lives next door to you, to the paper boy or paper girl, or you know, to the kid in the grocery store who's sacking groceries. You know, your conduct, your behavior matters. And you know, we often say to fellas, and we would say this to the men or women, you never know who's looking up to you. You just never know, and you may never know who has looked up to you and modeled your behavior. You know, teachers have wonderful influences over children. A lot of teachers teach for years, and they really never know the weight of their impact on a child. And I think that adults generally are that way. You just don't know how your behavior can make a difference in the life of a child who may only have a passing contact with you. And it really does matter.
We'll say often that your teens may not look at you, but they never stop looking up to you.
That's a very good point.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we've all experienced teens not looking at us. That's we can all identify out there in radio land too, I'm sure, where, you know, your kids go through those phases where they really just really want to be independent, not have too much to do with you. But as they get older and they become more adults and you begin to communicate more, you realize how much they really emulated you and looked up to you and it mattered. And they begin to say say things and do things that kind of reflect the precepts that you tried to pass on. So you kind of say, yeah, okay, that's good.
And the scary thing about being a father, I think, is sometimes you don't really realize whether what you did was the right thing until they're grown. And then, you know, the job's done. It's hard to make some changes or to encourage changes if they are doing something wrong to a 30-year-old person.
Mm-hmm. We talk about the different types of dads, and one of the types of dads is the clueless dad, and we were certainly clueless dads at certain points, and I think all of us have been. And so we searched around for ways to deal with our kids or deal with a certain situation that might have come up, and there weren't many people we could talk to about it. We'd go to the bookstore, look through the books, and we couldn't find much. And if we did find something, it was written by somebody we couldn't really understand sort of what they were talking about. And so what we've tried to provide is a practical perspective from dads who've been through the experience to give advice and to give counsel and to give dads a voice and an opportunity to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. And we learn from dads. You know, when we have these sessions, these workshops, we make it clear to them that we're not coming to you with all the answers. We still have questions, and you may have a solution to something that we've never thought about. So it's really a learning experience for everybody involved.
We're going to continue learning right after we check on the traffic and weather. And when we come back, it'll be your turn to interact with us. This next segment is your show. So if you are a dad and have a question to ask these other dads that are here with us this morning, call us, 893-1450. If something they have hit on this morning in the conversation so far has turned on a red light in your mind and you've said, that's me, I can relate to that, give us a call, 893-1450. And while we're getting ready to check on the traffic and weather, how can we get a copy of the book Dads to Dads?
Well, it's available on Amazon.com. That's probably the best place to do it. And it's the title is Dads to Dads, the number two. We survived, and you can too.
All righty. At Amazon, Dads to the number two, Dads. We survived, and you can too. Mm-hmm. All righty. Bill Black and Tom Tozer, they're our guests this morning. You read them in the newspaper. They have a book out. They're talking to dad conferences all around. And now's your chance to talk with them and share some ideas. We'll be right back.
TCS Cougar Corner. We're talking about the orange and white each Saturday morning at 10:15. Cougar Corner from Farmer's Family Restaurant off Old Fort Parkway.
Bell Jewelers, celebrating 135 years. In the late 1800s, Bell Jewelers was originally called William R. Bell & Son, which began as a jewelry and optical store. In fact, the fitting table for eyeglasses is in the middle of our store today. Bell Jewelers, voted the favorite jewelry store in Murfreesboro. Bell Jewelers, on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup, buy it in the store, or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
At Roberts Auto Repair, we're always helping people with their high-mileage, paid-for vehicles. I evaluate our customers' cars as if they were my very own.
Roberts Auto Repair, on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
We're always honest and fair.
Good morning. We've got busy traffic still on I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 Medical Center Parkway. Broad at Church, Broad at Memorial, traffic easing. 04 Parkway at Chaffin Place, 04 Parkway at Kaysen Lane. We've got Memorial Boulevard, Medical Center Parkway, all with traffic easing for us at this time. Stover's Liquidation saves you money on flooring and a whole lot more. We have coffee, just $1.99 a 14-ounce bag. Hurry into Stover's Liquidation in Antioch or shop online at stoversliquidation.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the lower 70s, winds out of the southwest between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 61.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Come by and visit us. Enjoy a hot, delicious cookie, and we are very grateful to those customers that have helped us with our success. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
Receive breaking news, sports scores, traffic, and weather bulletins on your cell phone. Sign up for text alerts at WGNSradio.com.
When I'm driving, trying to clear my head, I try to sweep out all the ruins that my emotions left. I guess I'm feeling just a little tired of this. And all the baggage that seems to still exist. It seems the only blessing I have left to my name is not knowing what we could have been, what we should have been. So take your records, take your freedom, take your memories, I don't need them. Take your space and take your reasons, but you'll think of me.
Hey, welcome back. Dads to Dads, that's what we're talking about this morning. Bill Black and Tom Tozer with us. Their book, Dads to Dads, We Survived and You Can Too, available on Amazon. Now's your chance. Has something sparked a thought in your mind that we've talked about so far this morning? Give us a shout, 893-1450, and if you're a woman, Tom, is it okay if they call, too?
They can call.
Okay.
Yes.
893-1450. And it's interesting you said the women are the ones who respond mostly. I guess that's the way women are. They listen and then they respond. And the dads listen and then they tell you the solution.
I think that's right. I think women are better listeners. I really do. And that's one of the things we kind of preach is that, Dad, you have to stop and you have to take time to really listen to what your kids are telling you and what they're saying to you. You know, and too often we look at the role of dad as being the decider, the one who makes the decision and fixes everything. And that's not what our kids or maybe even our wives are asking for. A lot of times, they just want someone to listen to them.
When you go to these conferences and you talk to the dads, do they always seem to have the same problems, the same concerns, whether they're in Athens, Tennessee, or Sarasota, Florida, or wherever they may be? Are dads basically dads wherever they are?
We've been to a number of workshops that we've done in different states, and you're right, they're very similar. We talk in our book about the different types of dads, and we start off with the clueless dad. And that's somebody who feels invisible, can't understand what's going on with his kids, and allots for, you know, what's the right tool to fix this problem. And then the connecting dad, somebody who wants to break through, connect with his kids, wants to avoid a typical experience you get with customer service where they say your call's very important to us, but you're hanging on the line and you realize it's not that important. Or the learning dad, somebody who tries to educate himself and to learn and to develop and search out information to try to be more effective. Tom, you can cover some others that we've got.
Well, we have the family dad who, you know, is the, and we often actually refer to the story of the prodigal son in the Bible about, you know, the family dad, the dad who is there for his kids no matter what. And, you know, a lot of people experience much more than what Bill and I have experienced, you know, as far as kids disappearing and taking off and doing their own thing. And a lot of parents have some really serious problems. And in that particular story, the father is there with his arms open to welcome his son back after all that his son has done and turned away from his home and that kind of thing. The modeling dad is a dad who, as we've said, is very aware of his presence and his stature in the family. He is important. I remember a study done by the Barna Group when we're talking about faith. And there was a survey they did that in 92% of the cases, I think, 92% of the cases, if the father is a leader in, if he kind of, you know, does a faith walk, leads his family toward faith, in 92% of the cases, his family will follow his lead. And so he wields quite an influence, even more perhaps than what he realizes.
Let's take a phone call here from maybe a dad or maybe a mom. Bill Black and Tom Tozer are with you on WGNS. Oh, they didn't wait long enough. Sorry about that. When you call in, we will put you on hold, and we do like to finish the thought, and we'll come back to you. So if you have a question or a comment that we, you know, we'd love to hear yours, 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. We'll try that one again. Just call back and we will put you on hold and like to get your thoughts there. Let's try that one again. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. I just called in to tell in on the show. Mm-hmm. Asked the gentleman, I heard he said something about the father not making decision. Did I misunderstood that?
What about
well, we talked about the father who makes decisions, the father who is kind of the Mr. Fix-It and wants to make quick decisions and fix everything instead of listening carefully to the problem or the issue. And a lot of us dads are like that. We want to fix things right away.
Well, is that a bad thing? I mean, I was raised up by my mother. My father deserted us when I was 13 years old. I was a man of the house at the time. I was the oldest son. And I made the decision to help my mom out. Now, that carried on into my upper life when I've had three kids. I'm a grandfather now. But anyway, I make decisions at my home. I discuss it with my wife. I listen to my kids and stuff. But the ultimate decision came upon me for the betterment of my home. And I think fathers, I think the scripture says that in the Bible, that he's the head of the household, the wife is submission, the children are submission to the man, as I am submission to Jesus and God. And I think men do like to fix it because that's just, I guess, the way the Creator made us. And I just want to say that I was trying to understand what you meant by that.
Mm-hmm. And you can understand the importance of the grandfather in children's lives, that your influence doesn't stop. When you become a grandfather, you're still a role model and you still have a role to play. And that, I'm sure that works in your situation.
Yes, sir. I am the grandfather. Of course, there's another grandfather on the other side of my children, my grandkids. So we're kind of like the patriarch, just like as in the biblical days, you know. And but it's interesting on the topic you're talking about. I think young men today that are younger than, I've got kids in the 30s now, so I'm talking about kids that are maybe in their early 20s, probably not married yet, the young men. I see a lot of the neglect that these young men don't realize, that when you marry a woman and then have children, you not other than bringing in the bacon and the, you know, supporting them and making decisions for the home, that they would be able, you know, a lot of them kind of slack off on that. And you see a lot of this, the ladies, the wives, take over the decision making. And I think that, to me, I think that kind of hurts the example of a father also to the children, especially of a male child and a female child. What do you think about that?
Well, in your earlier comments, you said a couple of things where you said you discuss with your wife and you listen to your kids, and then you make the decision. I think that's pretty important. If you do those things, I think that's great. If you first discuss it with your wife and you listen to what your kids are saying, and then based on that, you make a decision. There are, I think, some dads who are so domineering that they don't do either. They just make the decision.
Okay, well, that's true. We do make some are probably just, you know, make the total decision and don't ask the family that
right. Mm-hmm.
Whatever decision has to be made to ask them. So, mm-hmm. But I appreciate you talking to me. This is a great program. I'm enjoying it. I'll let you go.
Well, thanks for your call. Thanks very much.
And that's what it's all about, conversations. I was in a group this past Saturday, and one of the things that came up was the importance of conversations. If you don't agree with somebody else on something else, you have a dialogue. And then oftentimes it's amazing how similar you might be in their thinking. You're just thinking you're on opposite sides. So we need to have more dialogues, whether it's between husband and wife, parent and child, whatever it might be. Now, in his conversation, he mentioned that his father deserted them when he was, I think he said, 13. That is probably more the norm now, if there ever was a father in the picture, with so many children with no fathers. They don't have a role model, a male role model, for them. And is this creating problems for today's new dads, the 20-year-old dads who didn't have a dad either?
It's definitely a problem. And we've done workshops for teens and talked to them about the fact that you are not your family tree, that whatever happened with you in your past and your upbringing and that sort of thing, your demographics are not your destiny. And so you have the opportunity to change that family tree and to move into another direction when you become a parent. And I think that's really important. But as we talked about before, divorce has really wrecked our society. And so many marriages end in divorce, and that can cause great problems when the father is absent. Or we have a number of people who become dads, but they're absent dads. So they participate in giving birth with their spouse or with their girlfriend, and then they're not present in their child's life, and that really wreaks a lot of havoc on a child. The importance of a father in a child's life can't be understated.
And I think there was, I think it was the National Fatherhood Initiative that did a study. There are about 24 million children in this country with absentee fathers.
Hmm.
24 million children. So, yeah, you're right, Bart. It is a huge problem. And I think that even emphasizes the point that, you know, the fact that you produced a child physiologically, biologically, may not make you as much a dad. If you're an absentee dad, then it becomes the responsibility of other male adults in that child's life to model good behavior. And then that becomes the, you know, the responsibility of men in the church or in the community or your neighbor. That is a huge, huge challenge for us, I think.
And it's never too late to step up.
And so churches are having, and schools too, I guess, having to become that surrogate dad that is not present.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be the ones that are offering the solutions. This man who called in, his children are so fortunate that they have a father to be a role model who can offer guidance through solutions. There are so many who don't have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. If any of you feel strongly on that, call us. We'd like to hear from you. 893-1450. Can churches, can schools do a better job of moving into this? Or is this an area they need to stay out of? What do you think? I mean, somebody's got to get in there. If the fathers aren't there, somebody has to get in there. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I was calling in regards to the question about absentee fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think that's one of our biggest issues with the problems in society today, because these kids don't have dads who are role models. And when they live in the home with a single mom, a lot of times that authority is real different for male children versus female children. And they grow up with kind of skewed attitudes about how life is supposed to be. And I don't know that schools and churches can do it. I know people in the church try, but people in schools, I'm an educator, and people in schools have, we've had our hands slapped for years for trying to teach any values whatsoever. So I don't really think we can ask the schools to do that. I think that's part of the problem we have in our school system today, is we don't have the support of what I call dads. I think there should be a word created for these people who make babies and don't raise them, and it should not be the word dad. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Well, teachers, too, are really put under the gun in terms of the expectations on the part of the state and what kind of progress is expected of them with the children in their classrooms. And then you add on to that these home situations that are unstable, and teachers have a great burden on them in that regard, because kids will act out. There'll be issues related to the loss of the father in the home and the fact that the father isn't there. There's no role model in the home, or perhaps even in the community. So it's a real issue, and we see it in the classroom.
Let's paint this picture, and when we come back from checking on the weather, and it is raining again out there, when we come back and check, we're going to talk a little about the lack of a father, and does that give the opportunity for other family types, I guess you could say, gang leaders who are trying to take the place of a family to move in and be that dad figure. It's hard to picture a gang as being a dad figure, but you know, maybe that could be. We'll be right back.
And I don't know what to do, 'cause I'll never be with you.
The Dave Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW.
Weekdays from 1 to 4 on WGNS.
Have you recently thought about building a new sunroom, maybe a screen room or a patio cover? Maybe new columns or new railings at your house? How about new shutters? What about gutters, flooring, windows, and exterior doors? A lot of people upgrade their exterior door, and it makes the whole house look totally different. Some people update their garage door, change the garage door, again, changes the appearance of the whole house. What about remodeling your kitchen or your bathroom or your outdoor living area? These are all things that Home Building Products in Murfreesboro can help you out with. Home Building Products is at 300 West Castle Street, again here in Murfreesboro, and they have more than 150 years of combined experience. Thousands of homeowners are very happy customers, and they've been in business for nearly 50 years. They've helped both myself out, Scott Walker, and also Bart Walker here at the station many times. Go to Home Building Pro, that's homebuildingpro.net.
The Salvation Army Family Store, where your purchases always help us help others.
We take pride in keeping the store as clean as possible and making it easy for the customer.
Store manager Mark Sheridan.
We try to spread things out a little bit and keep the inventory fresh, and new donated clothes are put out daily. There's never the same thing. If you come in 2 days in a row, you'll never find the same thing in the store.
The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street across from Captain D's on Broad. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, and I'm inviting your family to come do business with our family. Here at Animal City, we know the importance of feeding your pet good quality food to protect their health, so we stock a variety of premium quality foods for most types of animals. Animal City has the pet to suit your family, whether that's a sugar glider, hedgehog, or tarantula. Animal City is located at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro. Your next best friend is waiting for you.
WeatherEye.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the lower 70s. Winds out of the southwest between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 61.
That update brought to you by Kubota. Kubota presents their Gear Up and Go sales event going on now with special promotional pricing on tractors and Commander Zero Turn mowers. Click on TennesseeKubotaDealers.com for information. That's TennesseeKubotaDealers.com.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Hey, hi, and hello there.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
Fun lovers and truth seekers.
Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS AM FM online.
But never forgets what I lost. Wake me up when September ends.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We only have about 5 minutes left in the program, so if you have a thought you would like to share, we would love to hear from you this morning. We've already had some very interesting callers who had some great perspectives. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. Sometimes bad things happen if you are the parent and not doing your job. The kids still have that need for guidance. They have that need for feeling worth, feeling like they're a member of a family. And I'm wondering about gangs. Is this the way gangs recruit? Do they come in and they become the family substitute? If the family's not functioning, does the gang do that? Is that why we're seeing an increase in gangs?
Well, yes. I don't want to get talk too much on an international scale, but in the news lately, if folks have been listening to the news about ISIS and all these things happening, they've talked about how so many younger people from this country, from Great Britain, from other countries, who are disenfranchised, who are wandering, who are don't have anything to do, they don't feel important, are being recruited even by these terrorist groups because they are giving them a purpose, giving them a mission. And then you bring that down to just even in our country and to the local scale, then certainly gangs do the same thing. Gangs will recruit, make a kid feel important and welcomed and loved, and suddenly that kid has a place that he can belong to. And so I think that's a huge reason why there's a growth in gang activity and that kind of thing.
In other words, fathers need to wake up and be a father. And that's what your Dads to Dads book can help them do.
It's really a crisis in the American family when a father is absent, and it has negative impacts on children, and it can't be underestimated, the importance of a father in a child's life. And so that's kind of what we're doing. And when there is no father, no active father, what happens is gangs can step in, and particularly in many of our cities, they serve that surrogate role. Teens have an opportunity to feel that they belong to something and there's some purpose in their life, and it's not a good purpose.
Is this a problem strictly in the United States, Maybe more than other places, or we don't have the corner on this.
No.
I don't think so. I don't know. I think that there are other cultures, and I'm no expert on this, but I think even Oriental cultures value the family unit more, that there is a more of a regard for generations and for the importance of grandfathers and great-grandfathers and mothers and grandmothers and so forth.
So we get so caught up, it sounds like, in tangible things, wanting to get this, wanting to get that. We don't leave time to get to know our family, and especially our children, the most important things to know.
We see this in the children that are coming to our country for asylum. I mean, they're coming from countries that they're victims of gang violence, and it's terrible violence on the part of gangs in those places. So we don't have the corner on that market at all.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned time. That is, I think, if there's a recurring theme that we've heard over and over and over and over again in workshops and talking to fathers, time management. Parents taking the time with their families. They get pulled in so many different directions. And it's ironic, really, because we've talked about schools and churches and institutions that can help. Sometimes they hinder because they pull the family apart. They're so demanding on families' times to do this, do that, be in this group, be at this rehearsal, be at this practice, that the family is fighting to try to find time for these family members to come together around the dinner table. That's almost a lost cause anymore, it seems.
We've talked about calling a family summit and having a family summit where you bring your family together, your kids together around the dinner table or whatever, and reclaim some of this time for yourself and for your family.
So people need to take time to learn your family, to get to know them, for them to know you, to interact with each other. And if you don't,
somebody will take the time. Yes, yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Kids want to be listened to. They want to feel like they belong. They want to feel like they have some direction over their life. And so that's important communication in a family.
Before we leave today, again, how can we get the book Dads to Dads, We Survived and You Can Too?
It's available on Amazon.com. And listeners can also contact us at Tom and Bill at dads2dadsllc.com.
Okay, and if you miss any of that, we do have that here at the station. Good. What day are you in the newspaper here in Murfreesboro?
We run Saturday in the Daily News Journal, and then we're in different days. We're in the Chattanooga paper, we're in the Nashville
Tennessee
paper,
mm-hmm.
and then we are in a number of different states, and they will run it according to their schedule, but we appear weekly in each of those.
The book is Dads to Dads, and the word is a number two, Dads to Dads. We Survived and You Can Too on Amazon.com. Bill Black and Tom Tozer today, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. It's our pleasure.
Thank you, Bart. Appreciate it.
Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking with some people who are working with youngsters who maybe the parents didn't spend enough time. We're going to be talking with some folks from the Rutherford County Juvenile Court System. Waiting for the kids.